God, we have no place else to go but to you. We ask you, please, Lord Jesus, to help us to build our lives on your rock. You are the rock of our salvation, and we fully, freely give you everything that we are. Bless us abundantly with your Spirit to lead and guide us into your truth, the truth of your word today. Help us, Lord Jesus. We need your Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Before I read you the word, I want you to know, in 2006, me and my wife started this church in the living room of our house. And like every young pastor, I was sure I knew exactly what I was doing. I knew it was God's calling. And I had wondered, what is the lessons God would have me to learn? I was sure I already knew them all. I had already been in ministry for 10 years. I was sure that I knew what I needed to know. And I think that naivete is one of the easiest things to deal with, because at that time, looking back, I realized I didn't even know what I didn't know. And I'm going to share with you guys today the hardest part of ministry. Any of you guys that are ever thinking about going into any kind of ministry, I'm going to tell you the absolute worst, hardest, most difficult part of ministry. You ready? As a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as somebody who dedicates their life to others, to giving others what they don't have, whether they like it or not, is what's most difficult. You, when you're in my position, when you're in my situation, you listen and you see the pattern of people's lives. And when it does not lead down a good road, when you see people doing things that are going to cause their destruction, you have the opportunity and the options to tell them or not. Because the first thing you learn in ministry is that you're sure if you tell somebody, dude, you're screwing your life up, it's easy to see, that they're going to go, oh, thank you so much. I don't know what was wrong with me. I should have. You're sure that that's what they're going to do until you do it. And then they, what? How dare you? Who do you think you are? And they, whoa. Listen to me. I'm just trying to save you. You don't want to know. That's fine. Well, I'm never coming back here again, and I'm going to tell everybody what you did. And then you have again, you have the options and the opportunity next time. You see the pattern of somebody's life, and you look and you see them, and the first thing they do is they stop going to church, and you give them a call, hey, how's it going? I haven't seen you around church. Well, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Oh, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just... And let me tell you, the Lord Jesus, what we're going to look at today is exactly that. This exact situation that I'm speaking of. And what I find amazing is, and here's what happens, guys. Pastors start to become popular. And in order to maintain their popularity, they cannot tell people things they don't want to hear, because if you tell people things they don't want to hear, they go bye-bye. You know, there's a really, really famous scripture that says, people left Jesus' ministry saying, this is a hard saying, who could know it, and they followed him no more. If you don't have people leaving your church, if you don't have people leaving your ministry going, this is a hard saying, who can know it, you don't have a ministry like our Lord Jesus Christ. You understand the things I'm saying? You guys with me? Well, what happens is pastors start preaching the word. They start getting a lot of people in their church, and it becomes intoxicating. They start to think, I'm special. I must preach the word better than somebody else. And in order for them not to have people leave, they don't want to share the bad stuff. I can't. Let's not talk about gay marriage. Let's not talk about sex. Let's especially not talk about money. And the church grows and grows and grows. And at some point in time, they don't offend nobody. and everybody loves them. Except for that other little scripture that says, woe unto you when all men speak good of you. Our Lord Jesus, going through now 19 chapters of the book of Matthew, he didn't have that problem, did he? And at the end of his ministry, how big was his church? Zero. And at the end of the Apostle Paul's ministry, how big was his church? Zero. So, we're going to look at that today. How the Lord cut through the nonsense and spoke the word of truth, whether people liked it or not. Are you with me? Put your seatbelt on. Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Give me your attention, please. Seemingly, this is the ultimate question every Christian wants to hear. If I was to ask you guys by a show of hands, how many of you people have never led somebody to the Lord? How many of you people have never said, would you like to receive Jesus as your Savior? And they say yes, and you say, okay, well, say this prayer, and you pray with them, and they receive Jesus, and you go, hallelujah. If I ask you that, I say, how old are you in the Lord? One, two, three, four. How old are you? And you've never led anybody to the Lord? What the heck are you doing then? You were like an undercover Christian? Come on. People are dying around you. You got to lead somebody to the Lord. That's just rude. Maybe I don't have the gift of evangelism. Oh, stop. Everybody has the gift of evangelism. That's not true, Ryan. Oh, yeah, it is. Watch this. If you take the one hobby you love most, for me right now, jiu-jitsu, MMA, you can't hang out with me more than 15 minutes. I guarantee you we'll get into a conversation about it. But there is something I love a little more. That's my Savior. And if you hang out with me for more than a day, I guarantee you, you're going to go, what's different about this guy? What's different about you? You don't cuss. You don't fuck. What? I see you pray for somebody. What? Because it's the most important thing in my life. It's far more important than anything else. You understand what I'm saying? This is the dream question. Somebody walks up to you and says, excuse me, what must I do to be saved? Listen, this is easy. This is easy. Come here, let's say a prayer. Repeat after me. Right? That's of course going to be our response, right? Only question and the only problem is, why wasn't it the Lord's? Maybe, just maybe, in the churches around the globe, we're doing something a little different than the Lord Jesus would have us do. For he did what was called quantify faith. Qualifying your faith. Watch what he says. Again, I'll read it. Now behold, one came to him and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit, that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Please give me your attention. The first thing he says to him is not, dude, say this prayer and you're in. He says, good. Why do you call me good? You call me teacher. You didn't call me Lord. Do you know that I am Lord of all? Do you know that I am capital G-O-D, God? Now, some will use this scripture falsely to say, see, Jesus is not God. That's why he was pushing the title away from himself. That's not what he did here. What he did here was quantify faith. Why are you calling me good? There's only one good, and that's God. And he's not a teacher, he's God. And I also like the fact that he didn't say to him, if you want to enter into eternal life, keep the commandments. You see what he said there? If you want life, keep the commandments. What's the difference? How many of you guys think you can keep the commandments and be saved? Can't happen. The commandments were there so that we know we need a Savior. They weren't there for us to have a list of regulations. Well, listen, if you do 1 through 10, after the end of your life, you can get saved. Not that I ever met anybody who did 1 through 10. Anybody here keeping all the commandments? Anyone here keeping any of the commandments today? Not me either. Believe that. From the second I opened my eyes, I was sinning. But he said to him, verse 18, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your mother and father, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Now, you must also, again, understand the story. Number one, this is the story of the rich young ruler. Now, let's, for argument's sake, now, first of all, I think he's lying flat, right out the bat. I think he's lying. There's no way he kept all those commandments. But listen, let's, for argument's sake, say that he's telling the truth. For a rich man, for a wealthy ruler of men, which ones shall I keep? You shall not murder. I haven't murdered anyone. You haven't had to. You haven't had to protect anything. You're a rich ruler. If you needed somebody killed or somebody had to be killed, you just commanded one of your servants to do it. That's different. You shall not commit adultery. I don't have to commit adultery. I have 14 wives. I'm a rich ruler. If I want another wife, I just marry her. And so you found a way around all these commandments and telling yourself that you're okay with them, huh? Well, yes. You shall not steal. Why do I have to steal? If I want something, I buy it. I have nothing but money. Have you ever stole because you were hungry? I don't have to. I'm rich. Well, what about those that aren't? I don't worry about them. You shall not bear false witness. That means you haven't lied. Come on, come on, come on. How'd you get all that money? Bye, Christian. Honor your mother and father, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Listen, I'm making this guy lots of excuses, but again, we're trying to do what the Lord did. You notice again, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Just say this prayer, man. What, are you kidding me? You know what church you go to? Come forward, say the prayer. You're in. You're in. No. No. Quantify faith. Why are you calling me good? There's only one good, and that's God. The proper response, he said, and you are Lord of all. Peter had the words of life just a few chapters ago. He said, where else can we go? You have the words of life. He said, you are the Christ, and on this rock I will build my life. You remember? That was the response. But the rich young ruler had no time for that. He just wanted everybody to see how good he was. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth, what do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, which, by the way, is the righteous reward, which is the only way you get the righteous reward, be perfect, and nobody can be perfect. There is one that was perfect, and you see what they did to him. Go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Please give me your attention. He finally gets to the heart of the matter, so much to like our King, our Savior, our Jesus. He says, look, dude, I know you're rich, and your riches have kept your heart from me. Although you've generically kept my commandments, your heart is wrong. You love your riches. Here's what you do. Sell everything that you have. And notice what he said, and I love this. He didn't say, and give it to my guys, give it to me. He said, give it to the poor, and then come follow me. Now, do you really have to do that to be a Christian? Of course not. The Lord Jesus was getting to the heart of the issue, and watch how he continues. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So he just reckoned that the cost of his soul was what he had in his bank account. Excuse me, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, you know the commandments. Done. Sell everything that you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. That's a real life changer right there. I didn't come to church for you to get my business. I didn't come here for you to tell me I have to change my whole life, okay? Then why did you come to the Lord Jesus? Because there's a hole in my heart, and I want it filled. Well, are you ready to have it filled with change? I guess I'm not. What did you think he was going to do, wave a magic wand? Did you think he was going to justify your position and say, oh, righteous one, thank you for coming to our church. We are so glad you're here for gracing us. That's not Jesus. Why is that our churches? You know who goes to Church by the Glades? Do you know what movie star I saw at Calvary Fort Lauderdale the other day? I saw some sinners go forward. Praise God. People are getting saved. Big churches, little churches, people are getting saved. Nobodies are going there getting saved, and I love that. That is the heart of our King. What are you doing here? I mean, this is basically what the Lord said to him. I mean, doesn't he know how rude he is? I mean, guys, I want you to think about this. This rich young ruler, doesn't he know that if he was nice to him, he might invest money in his kingdom? He might take care of his apostles so they can do real ministry? This guy's got lots of money. And we know that Jesus didn't have any. You're talking to a rich guy. Be nice, yeah. Be nice. Oh, I'm sorry. He didn't get that message. He must have not been there for that day, that teaching. The Lord said, what do you want? What are you doing here? You came here for salvation? Salvation doesn't start here. It starts here. It starts there with death. Then Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly, I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. You know, when I had money, back when I was playing games in my old neighborhood, I had a pocket full of money, and I had no time for God. All my needs were met. There's an old saying, there was one of the founding church fathers in the first century said, you know, that you don't realize that God is all you need sometimes until God's all you got. And if God wants you, eventually God's going to be all you got. And then you're at that point of saying, God, can you help me? God says, oh yeah, I control the wind and the waves, and I can certainly calm the storms of your life. That's pretty crazy. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man getting to heaven. Did anybody hear that? It had to be a really, really tiny camel. When the disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished and said, whoa, 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 wait a second. And let me tell you why they were astonished. Because Peter, James, and John, their family had some flow. They had a big old fishing business with servants and all that stuff. Peter, James, Andrew, and John were all part of the same family in that same fishing business. So they all, whoa, 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 whoa. What would it say again? Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say something that offended you guys too? Let me make it clearer for you, he says to them. But Jesus looked at them and said, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Let me tell you what he's saying, guys. Let me boil this down for you. Anytime you think that anything in the physical you can do to please God, you cannot. You can only do this in the spiritual. With God, anybody can go to heaven because your sins are forgiven. Your righteousness is not based upon what you do or what you don't do. It's based upon giving your heart to God. Just saying, you know what? I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to do one thing. Give my heart to God and let God do everything. For the Bible says, he who begun a good work will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. What God has begun in the spirit, you can't make perfect in the flesh. If God has done this work and you came to church, you didn't come here because we have some circus, and you came here because we have a big Ferris wheel. And, oh, I'm just waiting to ride the Ferris wheel, and all of a sudden somebody came up to me and started talking about the Lord Jesus. No, you came here because your life has a hole in it. And you're saying, what can fill this heart problem I have? I'm going to leave that hanging a second, because when we get to the end of the study, you're going to see exactly how he handles this. Then Peter answered and said to him, and I love that Peter answers before he's even spoken to. It's fantastic the way he does that. See, we have left all and follow you. Therefore, what shall we have? There's Peter. There he is. You guys have been with us the last few weeks, man. Foot and mouth disease, Peter. Then Jesus said to them, assuredly, I say to you that in the regeneration, oh, I love that word. In the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory. Guys, hear what he said. He said, what you see around you is not the end of it. What you're seeing surrounding you now in the form of the physical is not life. This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. This is only a test. This is temporal. The things that we see, the Bible says, they are temporary. The things that we don't see, they are eternal. He says in the regeneration, when everything is melted down and I raise up what is permanent. I love that verse. I love it because you that are having relationship problems, you that are having health problems, you that are having family problems, you that are having kid problems, you that are having money problems, you that are having emotional trauma in your life where the heaviness of your world is pushing you down, 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 down. In the regeneration, it ain't gonna matter at all. I love that. I love this. I love this man. This man, he left no questions unanswered. Even when we had the wrong questions, he answered the ones we knew needed answering. He said, dude, you got a problem with your life. How dare you judge me? You notice it said that the rich young ruler, that he left away sad because he had great possessions. And he didn't go, wait a second, just say this prayer before you go. Wait, before you go, let me just lead you in a prayer. See ya. Peter wants to know what's in it for him because he's left a really wealthy business. Wait a second. I left my father's business. I was doing all right. Tell me what's in it for me? So Jesus said to them, assuredly, I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. Many who are first will be last, and the last first. Huh? I'm sure Peter was like, he had one of those, what you talking about, Willis, moments. I got the whole thing about, but what do you mean first, last, first? I don't understand. Here he gets to the heart of the matter. He leaves, ready? Watch what he does. Subject change for the Lord here. He leaves the heart issue that was the problem with the rich young ruler and gets to the heart issue of Peter's question. Hey, we left all and we're following you. What do we get? He says, you know, Peter, a lot of that are first will be last and last first. I hate when you do that. You just answered a question I didn't ask you. Why would you stop doing that? Because as ministers, God gives us that vision. When we see people messing up, we have the opportunity to say, hey, dude, you're screwing your life up right now. You're messing up your relationship. I know that you think after being married for 2 years, you have it all down, but you're really messing it up right now, and you're going to pay for it later. Or we can say nothing. I want you to see that again. I want you to see. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands. Now, I want you to also know that the Lord Jesus, he had terrible grammar. You don't put that many ors. You put a lot of commas. And I think he did that intentionally. He said, listen to me. This ain't no joke, this walk. If you're serious, there's going to be division in your life. Your family, your sister, your brother. You might lose everything you got. Oh, that's not true, because I was at a church the other day and they said if I have enough faith, I could have lots and lots of money. Because the treasure of the wicked store up for the righteous. There it is, okay? Why would I leave my wife? Well, the Bible says that if your wife doesn't love the Lord and she wants to leave you, you should let her go. You shouldn't stay married to her. That's ridiculous. Children? My children don't love the Lord. Let them go. Give them to God. I don't like this Bible study. You're getting too personal. I'm just reading you the Bible. I'm just reading you the Bible. That's all I've done is read you the Bible. I have given you no opinion. Have I? Many who are first will be last and last first. Now, I don't like the way that the scribes ended the chapter there. The chapter should most certainly not end there, and we're not going to end it there. For the kingdom of heaven, chapter 20, verse 1, is like the landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Please, he is now going to tell a what? A parable. And a parable is a earthly story depicting a spiritual principle. Warren Wiersbe said of a parable, if you've never heard this analogy, that a parable is a picture that becomes a mirror that becomes a window. It's a picture that becomes a mirror that becomes a window. First tell you the story, and you go, oh, that's nice. And then all of a sudden, hey, you're talking about me. But as our Lord Jesus always did, he gave you the window, the escape out. I love the way Warren Wiersbe put that. Continuing. There was a man who owned some land. And early in the morning, he went to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. Now, if you've never, how many of you guys, well, you don't have to raise your hand, but if you've never worked in a labor pool, the guys come by with the trucks and they go, hey, I need a couple laborers. Does anybody know how to paint? I know how to paint. This is what he's showing. He says there was a guy that owned land, and apparently it was either vintage time, there's something to be, and he drives back and goes, hey, who wants to work in my field? And a bunch of people go, I'll do it. Now, spiritually, the application here, the practical, he says, the Lord God owns this world. And he puts out a call to those that would serve him. And some go, I'll serve you. What do I get out of it? How about this? I promise you heaven. What about riches? I heard there's a church that promises if you follow. What about the most beautiful husband, wife? What about never have any health problems? I don't know who's promising you that, but I'm promising you a denarius for a day. I'm promising you heaven. Are you all with me? I'm breaking this down for us. Verse 3, and he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, you also go out into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. So they went. So a little later on, a couple hours later, 3 hours later, he goes, what are you guys doing here? He goes, well, nobody hired us. He goes, come on, I'll pay you whatever I feel like paying you. At least you got some work for the day. And they go, sounds good to me. Verse 5, again, he went out about the sixth hour. And the ninth hour did likewise. About the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? They said to him, because no one has hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive. Please give me your attention. It's only an hour or so left of sunlight. And he finds these guys saying, what are you guys doing here? We didn't get hired, so we're going to drink some beer. Come on! Just tell you what, go out there and do whatever you can do, and I promise you I'll give you something for working. Working's better than drinking. Sure, why not? Now, again, I'm putting that inflection on there for a very important reason. You know, So they go out in the field to work. So when evening had come, the sun goes down, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, He said to the person who is handing out the truth, the reward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, now please, you'd think if this guy was decent, if he was a kind man, he would call the first ones that he hired out first. Let those guys that went out there last, let them stay out there a little bit longer. But no, that's not what he does. The people he sent out in the field for the 11th hour, he's calling them back in first. Not very nice of him, I think. And when those came, were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the heat of the day. Before we go to verse 13, please let me explain to you 12. They get in there, and those that he hired last, here's your denarius, 9th hour guys, 7th, 6th hour guys, 3rd hour, first part of the day. Hey, the guys that got hired and worked all day, they got up at the crack of dawn, they've been working with this guy. They got one denarius, the same thing as the guys that just got here. Hey, this ain't fair. I've been serving the Lord for 20 years. Y'all going to come along here and get the same reward as I'm going to get? Is that fair? I got saved in 1994. Got baptized. Started serving God almost immediately. And now all of a sudden you want to come along, get saved, and you're going to get the same thing I get? Is that fair? I ask you, should not I get more reward? Do you have any idea what I've had to put up with these 25 years? Does that sound like the right heart to you? What's the right heart? The right heart is just like I said, every church that people are getting saved is like, praise God, hallelujah. I know how lost I was. Thank God people are getting saved. I don't care what name they call that church. Calvary Chapel, Church by the Glades, Catholicism. If they are preaching the Lord Jesus, and people are coming to know him, I rejoice in the salvations. Pentecostal, Baptist, Presbyterian, hallelujah, hallelujah. People are getting, Lutheran, people are getting saved in the Lutheran church too. Hallelujah. Well, they don't go to, you know, Calvary Chapel is the only real church. I'm sorry, I did not know that. I was looking for that all through Scripture. I was searching the book of Revelation, the true church. There it is. The true church is Calvary Chapel. There it is. Oh, the Lord Jesus rebuked the elitists, didn't he? Did not he rebuke them all? He said, watch what he said. Watch his rebuke. Watch verse, where are we at? 8:13. But he answered one of them. One of them he answered. I love that. I'm not going to dignify all of y'all, but let me have you spread this around to the other guys and said, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first and the first will be last. For many are called, but few are chosen. Holy crap, that all just made sense now. Wait a second. Peter, stop thinking that you're in it for something besides salvation. What's in it for you? I'll tell you what's in it for you, a denarius. You get to go to heaven. Anything else you should just consider gravy because you got saved. Because you got saved. You don't have to go to hell. Peter, wake up. Peters, wake up. There's nothing in it for us. And many who are last will be first and first are last. Can you deal with that? Can you deal with that? Just a question for you. Just a question. When a bum comes off the street, Like we had Stephen out back there for a while and the other guy, Bruce. When they come in here and they accept Jesus as their Savior and they go, wait a second, he didn't serve God. He never did nothing. If I had people up here and they got saved and then they went back out to the drug addict life and then they died, I don't get it. It's not fair. He gets the same thing I got. Wrong heart. Wrong heart. Praise God. Praise God. Here, and here, he even stings them worse. For many are called, but few are chosen. That is a complete contradiction in terms. If you're called, you're chosen. Oh, no, you're not. If you're called, now, also, this verse is a complete contradiction for the Calvinists, for the mindset that says that man has no choice in the matter, that you're either chosen or you're not chosen, and that if you're one of those people that are into predestination, this verse right here blows it out of the water. Many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but you have to have the right heart about it. There is something you have to do. The Lord Jesus says, the Son of Man is lifted up, he will draw all men to himself. And when he draws them, you have to come. And worse than that, he says, you got to come with the right heart. That goes against everything I've heard about grace. That's not true. You can't do nothing. Really? Well, you want to explain this to me? Many are called, few are chosen. Yes, I can explain it to you. He was talking to, and he was speaking of nonsense. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. A doctor, he says, heals sick people. If you ain't sick, what you doing here? I'm not sick. I just came here to church to grace you with my presence. I have kept all the commandments all my days. No, you didn't. You came here because you're hurting, and that's why I've called you, and I want to choose you. Come to me. Come to me. Give me your heart. Wow. And I'm going to tell you something, guys. This makes way too much sense for me. This gets right to the heart of where I am at. Man, you better cut this nonsense out, Ryan. That's what the Lord said. Don't think for a second you've done anything. Here's your denarius. Absolutely, Lord. Get back to it. Just be happy that people are getting saved. Be happy I'm saved. Close your Bible. It's not the stuff that confuses me in the Bible that I don't like. It's the stuff that I understand that confuses me. You know, sometimes I read stuff out of the Bible and I don't understand it, and it's like, okay, I don't understand it. Like, that's cool because I don't understand it and I'm fine with it. It's the stuff like today that all of a sudden I understand it and I'm like, uh-oh, I better figure this out because I think I've been doing something wrong here. Now, doesn't that go back exactly what I said? The hardest part of ministry is when people tell you things that you don't want to hear. And yet, who does that our whole lives? The Lord Jesus. He says, Ryan, could I have that, please? Who are you to judge? Well, I'm God, and I know what's good for you. Do you want life? Yes, I want life. Well, then give me that. And listen, last thought, please get this. This man wanted eternal life because he already had life. The Lord Jesus said, if you really want life, it's not in riches, it's not in relationships. Real life is in selflessness. Do you understand what he was saying? This man wanted eternal life. God was offering him life because you had no shot at eternal life unless you give up your riches. and follow me. Explain this to me. Last explanation, then I'm going to let you all go. Eternal life is giving your heart to God. And there are many that have eternal life that don't have life. They're miserable. Listen, I know junkies, drug dealers, I know that have accepted Christ as their Savior and Lord. I'm sorry, their Savior, but not their Lord. And when they die, they're probably, maybe, I hope, no, God's the only one who knows, because certainly a junkie or a drug addict or a crackhead or a prostitute wouldn't get to go to heaven, would they? Oh, are we judging again? Are we judging again? I thought God was the only one that kept track of the salvation thing. Yeah, he did, but you see, I'm here serving God, and it's not fair. Oh, complaining about somebody else's denarius for a day, are we? You understand how this works? They might have eternal life, but they don't have life. For the Bible says in John 10, I came to give life, and that life abundant. Do you know how God has given me abundant life, guys? Selflessness. By completely abandoning my life. You think this is fun for me to come up here? You think I like when people leave this church, talk bad about me, say things, you told me this or you said that? I don't like it. I want people to like me too, but I'm just not willing to sacrifice God's word over it. I'm just not willing to sell my soul for that popularity. So the Lord Jesus was telling the rich guy, listen, forget about, let's not talk about eternal life. Let's just talk about life. Because eternal life, your heart's totally wrong. If you think you can keep the commandments and get saved, you're out of your mind. There is nobody who's ever done good enough that God says, oh, good job. Good job. You can go to heaven because you're such a nice guy. No, you go to heaven because you gave your heart to the Lord Jesus. And he forgave you of your sins. But if you want life, give your life to people. Give your heart to people. That will give you life. For it is more blessed to give than receive. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word, God, and we thank you for the stinging rebuke you put on our lives today. Forgive us for complaining against your plan and against your law and against your word. Forgive us. God, bless us today with knowledge of the things that you want us to change and the way we can give our life to others, leading people to the Lord and understanding that in you is salvation and there is no other way. I proclaim that you are Lord of all. And God, I ask you to forgive me that I would judge somebody else's salvation. I would judge somebody else's church. I would judge somebody else's ministry. I would judge somebody else's walk. God, I'm satisfied with the denarius for the day that I've been given heaven. I'll take it. Anything else, God, it's your grace and mercy alone. God bless my brothers and my sisters to consider the same things. We love you and thank you. Have your way in us. May this be our closest year with you yet. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.